This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. A reminder, if you miss any portion of the show, you can catch it in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts from, or check it out on the VSiN Watch app. That goes for all of our shows here across the Sports Betting Network. What a fun Thursday night. Stanley Cup Final game number 4 goes to overtime. The third game out of the 4 games in this series that go to overtime. The Oilers kind of pulling a reverse of what we saw in game number 2, where Edmonton scored with 30 seconds or so remaining to tie the game and send it into overtime, only to watch the Panthers win in OT. Well, in game number 4, the Panthers scored with 19 seconds remaining to force overtime, and the Oilers got the win. Edmonton became the 7th team in Stanley Cup Final history to overcome a 3-goal deficit to win a Stanley Cup Final game. The first team to overcome a 3-0 deficit after the first period. That's right. Florida went up 3-0 after the first period. It was at that moment where Edmonton Oilers coach Chris Knobloch decided to make a goaltender change, pulling Stuart Skinner in favor of his backup Calvin Pickard. And Pickard was solid in relief as the Oilers scored 3 unanswered goals in the second period to tie the game, scored a goal in the third period to take the lead, only to see the Panthers tie it with 19 seconds remaining with the extra attacker on, and in overtime, for the second time in this series, and an NHL record 4th time in this postseason, Leon Draisaitl scores the overtime winner. And now, going into game number 5 in Edmonton on Saturday night, Leon Draisaitl is your favorite from the Oilers' perspective to win the Conn Smythe Award. Right now, looking at the series market, it's a minus 110 split both ways. It's as even as you're going to get. The Oilers, a minus 120 favorite for game number 5, which is where they were for game numbers 1 and 2. But it's a minus 110 split for the series. As far as the Conn Smythe Award, which goes to the MVP of the entire postseason, not just of the Stanley Cup Final, of the entire postseason, Sam Bennett is your favorite at plus 150. Leon Draisaitl is your second favorite at plus 250. And to me, this makes all the sense in the world. If the Oilers win the Stanley Cup, Leon Draisaitl is your Conn Smythe winner. Because it's not just about the 2 game winners in overtime in this series. This one being arguably the biggest one of them all, because you're going to go down 3-1 if you lose this game, but you even up the series at 2 games apiece. But then also it's the 4 overtime goals in this entire postseason in NHL record, and he now leads the postseason in points. He came into this series trailing Connor McDavid, his teammate. Now he is even with Connor McDavid at 32 points in this postseason. He's got 11 goals, second only to Sam Bennett of Florida, who has 14. If the Oilers win this series, and Draisaitl, who was the betting favorite to have the most goals in this final, if he continues to score, and he winds up not just having the most goals of the Oilers in the playoffs, the most points of any player in these Stanley Cup playoffs, and the 2 overtime game winners in the Stanley Cup Final, the other 2 overtime winners earlier in this postseason, Leon Draisaitl is your Conn Smythe winner. He is your most valuable player of these playoffs. We still have more games to be played, and this has been an incredible series. Incredible series. For me, my opinion hasn't changed from the start of this series. I've been on the Oilers from the series begin. I've been on Draisaitl to win the Conn Smythe at 750 odds from before the series. And I think that Edmonton still has the edge here. I think Calvin Pickard being in net completely changes the dynamic for the Edmonton Oilers. With all due respect to Stuart Skinner, Pickard in net is now an undefeated 7-0 in these Stanley Cup playoffs. And look at what he did when he came in relief, in game number 3 in the first round against the LA Kings. Skinner was terrible in those first two games. The Oilers go down 2-0 to LA. They make the goaltending switch, and Pickard proceeds to win the next 6 consecutive games. He gets hurt in the Vegas series. Skinner comes in, is great, and Skinner did not play poorly enough to lose his job until this series. And maybe it's just the Panthers, maybe it's the moment, whatever it is. But making the switch here in game number 4 saved the series for the Edmonton Oilers. And so Pickard comes in, plays great in the second period, tremendous third period, a goal with 19 seconds left. What are you going to do? The extra attacker's on, a lot of pressure. Okay, it happens. They pick up the win now. The series is even at a game apiece. I'd be shocked if Chris Knobloch goes back to Skinner in game number 5. It's got to be Pickard and net in game number 5 for the Oilers. And if they win game number 5, boy, going to be hard to beat this team twice in a row. Yes, Florida will be a minus 145 to probably minus 150 favorite in game number 6. And then the series, if it gets back to game number 7 in Edmonton, Oilers will be favored once again. So I get it. The market right now says it's even, minus 110 both ways. I favor Edmonton. They have 2 of the remaining 3 games on home ice. How do you not favor the Oilers? How do you not? Overall in this series, if we just look at the way that these games have played out, from an analytical perspective, tied 2 games apiece. And it's hard to look at all situations because game 3 was so skewed by the special teams. The 11 power plays for the Panthers in game number 3. If you just look at 5v5 situations, in game number 1, yeah, it went to overtime, so we had some extra time. 69 minutes played 5v5. In game number 2, 68 minutes played in 5v5. Again, we went into overtime. Game number 3, 33 minutes. Half the game. Half the game was played at even strength. That's it. It's so hard to look at that game from any other angle but the even strength numbers, because with all the penalties, with all the power plays, that's less time that you have your big guys on the ice. You're constantly against the, you know, behind the eight ball here. But if you look at the way that that game played out when it was at 5v5, it was much more even than the 6-1 score tells you. The expected numbers, very even between both teams. And so this has been an evenly played series. If you look at the entirety of the 4 games, in 5-5 situations, that's all we're looking at here. Forget about the power plays, forget about the penalty kills, just 5-5. Right now, expected goals, 8.05 for the Oilers, 7.89 for the Panthers. It doesn't get more even. Shots on goal, 117 for the Oilers, 106 for the Panthers. Shots that just get through to the net, forget about on goal, 175, this is your Fenwick stats, 175 for the Oilers, 170 for the Panthers. I mean, your high danger chances. High danger, 50 to 48. High danger goals, 3-5. I mean, this is even. It's as even as it gets. So, yes, game 3 was a blowout. Overall, this series has been dead even. In fact, slight advantage to the Edmonton Oilers. Don't let the game 3 result skew your opinion on this series. That game was an aberration. 3 overtime games out of the 4 games in this series, that tells the true story. Oilers on home ice, the ability to have the last change, massive. It's Oilers or pass for me in game number 5, and it's Oilers for this series. And to that end, Leon Draisaitl is going to win your Conn Smythe Award as the most valuable player in this postseason. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199, plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. A no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from the hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide, which comes out on July 1st. So don't miss this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Promo code BOOK. Well, tomorrow begins the College World Series. A busy Friday there in Omaha. Coming up next, joining us from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is Colby Dant. We'll get his take on the games going on here on Friday and overall who he thinks has the best chance to be crowned a national champion in Omaha. And as a reminder, VSiN is with you live in Omaha. That's right, live broadcasts from Rocco's, home of the Jello Shot Challenge. We got Money Moves with Stormy and JBT. Follow the Money with Mitch and Paul, plus the Circa crew. Derek and company is there as well. All throughout the weekend, we are with you in the College World Series at Omaha. Go to vsin.com/CWS and get a free College World Series betting guide as well to help you make your bets here. Well, we'll get the picks coming up next from Colby Dant on the College World Series. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. The College World Series gets underway here Friday in Omaha. We have the early game with Arizona and Coastal Carolina starting the action at about 2 o'clock Eastern time there in Omaha. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line to talk more College World Series, Colby Dant from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Colby, thanks so much for joining us here. Before we get into some bets for games in particular, give me the handicap on this field. Right now we have Arkansas as the betting favorite at plus 195. Are they the strongest team? Do they have the strongest pitching? What can you tell us about this eight-team field here in Omaha?
Yeah, I think this is probably, you know, and I came into the tournament in general thinking that it was kind of an open field. And this one, especially with LSU playing Arkansas as the first game, so one of them is going to be in the loser's bracket, I think it's anyone's field. I mean, me personally, I think LSU is the team to beat. You've seen Jay Johnson do it before. They just are so deep at so many positions. But I do think the fact that LSU is playing Arkansas, those are probably the two best teams. And the fact that one of them is going to have a loss and then all you need is one game and your season's over after that. So fascinating tournament. You got, you got so many teams from the pack, the old Pac-10, Pac-12. You got the mid majors with Coastal and Murray. And I'm telling you, like, those teams are legit. It's not, those aren't like, I know that it's like a St. Peter's type run to compare it to March Madness. But Murray State, with the way their bats have been hitting, they beat Ole Miss, who had won the championship a couple years ago, who had given LSU and Arkansas some fits throughout the season. So this is anyone's field. And I think it makes for an awesome, awesome Omaha. And then you have the Jello Shot Challenge too. So I don't know if you've seen that, but we got odds on that thing too. I know LSU is the heavy favorite, but don't sleep on Murray State. All right. Especially knowing that Derek Stevens and company have already, I think, placed a decent amount of stuff on Murray State there.
It certainly is one of the great aspects there of Omaha and VSiN broadcasting live from Rocco's all weekend, home of the Jello Shot Challenge there down in Omaha. Murray State is an incredible story. And certainly at 45-1, you love to root for the dogs here. We absolutely love that storyline. They take on UCLA on Saturday in their first game, where they are a 2.5-point dog on the run line. Now, if you want to bet the money line, you can get plus 200, north of $2 if you shop around. But what do you think about Murray State's chances against UCLA? And do you like maybe laying a little bit of juice and taking the plus 2.5 runs?
I'm actually going to, I'm going to go a little crazier. I'm going to take the money line.
Love it.
I get it. UCLA, you know, UTSA just played in LA against Jackie Robinson Stadium against UCLA, and they were kind of a Cinderella, and UCLA could, you know, put the kibosh on them. But now, I mean, Murray is a team where I feel like they've proven to us that this team is super legit. I mean, they've beaten some really good teams now. They got multiple guys that to me can hit the ball. What, like, that's, I think the most impressive thing is, you know, throughout the regular season, you couldn't even get odds on the Murray State games, really. I mean, it's one of the more fascinating stories in sports, I would say. But they got five guys that bat over 300, four guys with double-digit homers, and they only have 78 homers on the season, so it goes to show you something there. I think they're live. Look, the Big Ten's not known for their baseball. UCLA was able to breeze through that thing. The Bruins, shout out to the Bruins. They got here. They look good against UTSA. But I'm telling you, this Murray team is no gimmick. I caught them live in the past 2 weeks, and I was super impressed with how many bats they have. Mm. The way that they're coached is fantastic. So I think it's worth a sprinkle there.
And listen, there's high schools here in Vegas that have better fields and facilities than Murray State right now. So it would be a great story. Yeah, and I think that you're right. They are probably live here against UCLA. Again, UCLA is a minus 270 favorite in that game. Shop around. You can get a good north of plus $2 price on Murray State on the run line. 2.5 runs is what UCLA is laying. Let's talk about the games coming up here to kick off the action at Omaha. The action gets started with Arizona and Coastal Carolina, 2 o'clock Eastern time. We have Coastal minus 230 favorites, total of 9 here. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I think the first thing I want to start off with is, you know, I have been in correspondence with my co-host who's out there in Omaha right now, and he's telling me, first off, it's a big stadium in general. We know this every year. It's some of these college stadiums can be a lot smaller than, say, Omaha, so you got to factor that into the mix. But then also he's telling me that there's wind, there's rain. They're calling for rain in the weekend, so we got some storms coming through. So I think with the wind, the stadium being much bigger, the first thing I'm going to jump on both these Friday games are the under. I like both of them. But as far as specific games, you know, Arizona just riding that hot wave, winning in Chapel Hill and the way they did after losing 18-2, I think it was the first game, super impressive. But I kind of think Coastal's been flying under the radar, and the way that Coastal has, you know, their relief pitching has been fantastic this year. Flying under the radar, they're one of the best records in all of baseball. And they're so good on the bases. They just don't beat themselves. I like Coastal in this spot. You saw Arizona lose game one to the Tar Heels. So why can't they lose to another Carolina here in Omaha? But I do think the under, both these games in the same place there, I think the under has legit value tomorrow.
What would be your stronger play? Would it be the under 9 Coastal Arizona or under 10 Louisville and Oregon State?
I think the Louisville Oregon State one would be a little more appealing, but I think both I feel decent about. It's just the fact Louisville, you know, Oregon State, first off, kudos to them. The magical win in game one against Florida State, which carried them to Omaha here, and the way they went out from an independent point of view and scheduled, super, super impressive. But I'm just kind of buying in to Louisville and what Patrick Forbes, when he's on, their pitcher, he is just a killer. And to me, we know he's going. So I'm going to jump on them knowing that I think he's good for 6 innings right there. And I don't know how much you're going to put up on him. So give me the under in that one a little bit more than the Arizona Coastal, but I will be on both.
Colby Dant from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network joining me, Scott Seidenberg here on the Progressive Guest Line. It's cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's talk about the game of the weekend. LSU Arkansas right now, Arkansas minus 120 favorite, total of 9.5. This will be the late game on Saturday, so not sure what the weather is going to be like Saturday night. If you can, you know, figure out what the storms or precipitation will be like on Saturday there in Omaha. But this is a highly anticipated game. You mentioned one of these teams is going to go to the losers bracket. These are the two top favorites in the futures market to win the national championship. So how do you like the first game playing out?
Yeah, and if you're also like if you're a lay college baseball fan or just trying to get into it, this is the one where you know you're going to have a lot of MLB players on both these rosters. So, just an awesome matchup. It's almost a shame that it's that someone's going to have to lose and go to the loser bracket. But and another thing is from the Jello Shot Challenge. These are probably the two fan bases. whoever loses this game. With one loss away, because you think LSU's got this, but if they lose to Arkansas, it makes it tricky for next week. So, as far as the game, this is the hardest one to pick, but I think LSU is the play. I think LSU is the play. Maybe I might be a little bit biased because they were my preseason pick, but they just have so many weapons at every position. Really, what is their weakness? I maybe a little bit of experience. But Jay Johnson's got that experience. He won the national championship in the past couple of years there with them. So to me, I think that's probably going to be the difference. Is just they have so much ammunition from a batting point of view, from a pitching point of view. I think that's why they get it done against Zach Root. So I don't know who they're pitching yet. That's the only concern right now. Is that you're in a little bit of taboo because Johnson, he likes to do this, doesn't let you know who's pitching. But I'm going to be on these Tigers. I think they're going to get it done on Saturday night, but, and if they lose, load up on them in the losers. Oh, yeah. In my opinion.
I love that. Yeah. I just like loading up on whichever one of these teams loses. I'm going to load up on them in the losers bracket.
You can't go wrong there.
Exactly.
You cannot go wrong.
And we do have an update, as of earlier this evening, the Jello Shot Challenge LSU has claimed the top spot right now, 525. That is a big number up on the board for LSU. Next highest, Murray State, 385. So LSU has come on strong here. UCLA with only 39. What's going on here? What's going on? You don't deserve to be there.
Yeah. I mean, college baseball, not necessarily killing it in LA, but I can tell you this, as a guy who's tailgated in Baton Rouge, not surprised. Not surprised on LSU's turnout.
Colby, great stuff as always. Continued success and good luck with your bets here. And enjoy the games coming down here, College World Series in Omaha.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
There he is, Colby Dan. Check him out, Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And don't forget, you can check out all of VSiN's coverage of the College World Series. Go to VSiN.com/CWS. You can download a free College World Series betting guide. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We want to transition from college baseball to Major League Baseball and recap some of the action that we saw here on Thursday and take a look at the schedule for Friday, come up with some bets here for Friday's slate of games. The Yankees finished off a sweep of the Royals with a 1-0 win in Kansas City on Thursday night. How about the Major League debut for Jacob Mizorowski starting for the Brewers against the Cardinals? Mizorowski goes 5 shutout innings, 4 walks, which is not great, 5 strikeouts, 0 hits. That's right. 0 hits. And this kid throws gas. We're talking triple digits on average. Maybe the control problems you want to, get a lock on. You don't want to be walking 4 guys, but he didn't allow a single hit and struck out 5, 81 pitches. Through 5 innings, he picked up the victory as the Brewers won 6-0 on Thursday night. So big time performance there, and something that Brewers fans are going to be looking forward to because this kid has an electric arm. Speaking of an electric arm, Tarek Skubal is going to run away with the American League Cy Young Award for the second consecutive season. And as somebody who has a Cy Young bet on Jacob DeGrom at 15-1, and I'm sitting here looking at DeGrom's odds go down every time he performs well, and now he's at 10-1. I'm thinking, so what? I might as well rip up that ticket. Tarek Skubal is on another planet right now. Skubal is -220 to win the Cy Young Award once again. He goes out here on Thursday and pitches another gem, goes, let's see, 7 shutout innings, 3 hits allowed, 6 strikeouts against the Orioles. If you look at his last several games, so that was 7 shutout, against the Cubs, his prior start, 7 2/3, 1 run. Prior to that against Kansas City, 7 innings, no runs. Prior to that against Cleveland, complete game, 0 runs. He is on a tear right now. He's the best pitcher in baseball. He's unbelievable. Let's just keep riding this. Just keep betting the first fives, the Detroit first fives, when Turk Skubal's on the mound, because he is coming through for you. Also coming through for you is Kode Senga of the New York Mets, who pitched another gem here on Thursday, as Senga goes 5 2/3 innings, only 1 hit allowed, 0 runs, 5 strikeouts, but left the game with a hamstring injury. There was a ground ball to first base. Pete Alonso fielded it and then threw it high, and Kode Senga had to jump up and catch the ball, and he landed, I don't want to say he landed awkwardly, but like he stretched his right leg back to put his toe on the bag and get the out, and then as soon as he came to the ground, he was like, well, I hurt myself, and he's rolling around in pain. The Mets are going to send him for an MRI. He's going to, you know, obviously undergo some tests, further testing to see what exactly the issue is and how long he'll be on the IL for. But that's a tough blow to a Mets team that has the best record in baseball right now and the best home record in baseball, 27-7 at home. And if you had Mets minus a 1.5, like yours truly did on Thursday afternoon, well, that is as tough of a beat as you're going to find, as the Mets had a 4-0 lead going into the top of the 9th inning. And in that 9th inning, the Washington Nationals scored 3 runs. And the one run that pushed it over the edge was a wild pitch or a passed ball. I guess it was credited as a pass ball, but Edwin Diaz is on the mound for the Mets. There's one out. It's a 4-2 game. Pass ball scores a run, makes it 4-3. Diaz gets the next two guys to get out. Game ends 4-3. That's how you lose. Mets minus a 1.5. But the first 5 cashes at least, as Kode Senga pitches another gem. And how about the Texas Rangers, who all of a sudden have an offense? The Rangers, maybe the recipe for their offensive slumps was just playing against the Minnesota Twins. 16 runs against the Twins on Thursday, 16 runs against the Twins on Monday, on Tuesday. I mean, this team is all of a sudden, two out of these 3 games, offensive explosion for the best under team in baseball, because their pitching's great, but they can't hit. Well, bats woke up in a big way here in Minnesota. Let's see if it translates moving forward here. Let's take a look at the schedule here for Friday. We do have the day game at Wrigley, the 2:20 Eastern time game at Wrigley, where the Cubs are a minus 115 favorite over the Pirates, with Cade Horton pitching for the Cubs. It's Paul Skeens day. Paul Skeens pitching for the Pirates. Skeens, in his last game, did not factor in the decision, despite going 7 2/3 innings, only allowing 1 run on 2 hits. In his start prior against, that was against the Phillies, in his prior start against Houston, Skeens goes 8 innings, allowing just 1 run on 3 hits, and picks up the loss. Prior to that, 6 2/3, scoreless baseball, 4 hits, picked up the win. Prior to that, 6 innings, 1 run, doesn't factor in the decision. Prior to that, 8 innings, 1 run on 3 hits, picks up the loss. The start before that, 6 innings, 1 run. Like, Paul Skeens is on a different planet as well. Him and Tarek Skubal on just different worlds right now. Skeens is a minus 210 favorite to win the Cy Young Award. And this is going to be one of those cases where you look at the game line, and the game line right now on DraftKings has the Cubs minus 116, Pirates minus 105, but the first 5 innings, Pirates are minus 130. So the Pirates are the favorite in the first 5 innings, Cubs are the favorite for the full game. That's the Paul Skeens factor. That's the Paul Skeens factor with an offense that doesn't hit like the Pittsburgh Pirates. Total is 7 in this game at Wrigley Field between the Pirates and the Cubs. You got to back Paul Skeens. Maybe a first 5 under if you don't trust the Pirates to score. We know what Skeens is going to do. Maybe only 1 run allowed, 2 at the most against the Cubs. At least we can trust Skeens for that. So maybe a first 5 under if we don't think that the Pirates are going to score, which they have not done so with Paul Skeens on the mound, as he's got one of the lowest run supports in all of Major League Baseball. Friday night, we got the Marlins at the Nationals. It's Mitchell Parker going for the Nationals. They are minus 125 home favorites. Edward Cabrera gets the start for the Marlins. The Blue Jays are at the Phillies. Ranger Suarez is on the mound for Philadelphia, 4-1 record with a 2.70 ERA this season. Kevin Gausman will go for the Jays. Philadelphia is minus 130. This offense, though, still has not been the same without Bryce Harper. And it is a much weaker lineup, and just the team is kind of just feeling it. They're just not putting the hits together without Harper in the lineup. Angels are at the Orioles. Jack Kokanowicz going for the Angels. Charlie Morton for the Orioles. This is a game I just want to play the over because I don't trust either of these pitchers. And guess what? Highest total on the board, 10.5. Makes sense. Reds are at the Tigers. Keiter Montero going for the Tigers. Nick Martinez for the Reds. Yankees and Red Sox will renew their rivalry. Last weekend, it was the Red Sox taking 2 of 3 from the Bombers. We'll see if the Yankees can get revenge here in Boston. Ryan Yarbrough gets the start for the Yankees. Garrett Crochet on the bump for the Red Sox. Boston, a minus 145 favorite. I get it. They're home. I get it. It's Garrett Crochet. I'm not passing up the Yankees at this plus money price. Rays are at the Mets. Taj Bradley for Tampa. Clay Holmes for the Mets. Mets are minus 165 favorites. Rockies are at the Braves. German Marquez for Colorado. Bryce Elder for the Braves. You know what to do. Bet against the Rockies on the run line. White Sox are at the Rangers. Adrian Hauser, who's had a really good season here. He started the season late for the White Sox. He's had a really good season so far for the White Sox. Not sure he's going to go for the Rangers just yet. Twins are at the Astros. Chris Paddock for the Twins. And going for the Astros is Colton Gordon. Cardinals are at the Brewers. Eric Fetty for the Cardinals. Freddy Peralta for Milwaukee. A's at the Royals. Severino for the A's. Michael Wacha for KC. Padres at the Diamondbacks. Steven Kolek, who's had a nice year for the Padres. And Ryan Nelson for Arizona. Guardians at the Mariners. Gavin Williams for Cleveland. Luis Castillo for the Mariners. And the Giants and Dodgers. Logan Webb for the Giants. Yamamoto, who's been the one pitcher that stayed healthy so far, I guess, for the most part. For the Dodgers. Dodgers minus 165. Hey, the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup are here. Our friends at ProfitX offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You're going to be able to make your sports picks against other group of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Coming up next, we'll get back into the NBA Finals. Game number 4, our best bets for this game number 4 here on Friday night. A couple of thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashin' Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashin' Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we have quite a lot to look forward to here on your Sports Betting Friday. Not only do we have Major League Baseball, we got a full slate of games, lots of things to get into. College World Series gets underway at Omaha. Don't forget the VSIN crew broadcasting live from Omaha. So you want to make sure you check that out. Go to VSIN.com/CWS. Get a free College World Series betting guide to help you make your bets here for the College World Series. We have the Stanley Cup Final. Game number 5 is on Saturday. Game number 4 of the NBA Finals is Friday night. And U.S. Open round number 2. After round number 1 of the U.S. Open, J.J. Spahn sits atop your leaderboard at 4 under. Thurston Lawrence is second at 3 under. Then Brooks Koepka is at 2 under par. Taking a look at the betting markets right now for your outright winner. John Rahm is your favorite at plus 550. John Rahm is 1 under for the tournament after one round. So he's 3 strokes off the lead, but he is your betting favorite to be the outright winner of the U.S. Open. Scottie Scheffler, who was, quite frankly, just stupidly priced before this tournament, not because he doesn't deserve to be the favorite, just because on this course at Oakmont, in a U.S. Open, no one deserves to be that short of a favorite. So much variance. It just makes no sense. He's plus 250, plus 275. Just stop it. Anyway, Scheffler's plus 650 as the second favorite. Scottie Scheffler's 3 over par. He's 7 strokes off the lead right now, and he's the second favorite at plus 650. Colin Morikawa and Brooks Koepka, as well as JJ Spahn, are next at 12 plus 1200. Morikawa is even, so he's 4 strokes off the lead. We mentioned Koepka's 2 strokes off the lead, and JJ Spahn is your leader, 12 to 1. If you think that Spahn's going to completely fall off, you can go ahead and you can bet that. But if you think that he hangs around, he's right now, JJ Spahn, minus 110 to finish top 10. I don't think he's going to shoot another bogey for your round. I can tell you that much, because that was rare, what we saw here on Thursday. Round 2 leader markets. So to be the leader after round number 2, Spahn is your favorite at plus 350. Brooks Koepka plus 750. John Rahm plus 750 as well. Siwoo Kim 10 to 1. Sungjae Im 10 to 1 as well. Colin Morikawa's at 20 to 1 to be your round 2 leader. He'd have to certainly make up some strokes, but as would most of these golfers, to make up the strokes here to be the round 1. But because of how difficult this course is playing, it would not shock me to see some ridiculous scores being posted. And when I say ridiculous, I don't mean like the 7 under pars. I mean like the 7 over pars. So for JJ Spahn, who had a bogey-free first round of a 66, would not surprise me if Spahn in round number 2 shoots like a 6 over and cards goes from a 66 to a 76. Wouldn't shock me. Something to keep an eye on here as we go into round number 2 at Oakmont Country Club there in Pennsylvania. But Friday night, it is game number 4 of the NBA Finals. And right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder are a 6-point favorite for the game, total of 225.5. I think that the Thunder at 6 are the right side of this game. First off, it's an incredible bounce-back situation. They are the favorite in game number 3 on the road, the market pricing them as the better team in this series. No one's arguing that they're the better team. They lose game number 3. Those teams bounce back in a big way in the following games. In these playoffs alone, we can talk about the zigzag. We can talk about the teams that if all you did was just bet on the teams that lost the prior game to then cover the next game, those teams are 48-26-1 in these playoffs. So, like, that's great. Actually, I have to specify this. Because, let's see. 44-22-1. There we go. Better numbers. Sorry. Because sometimes those numbers can include a non-playoff game. That's 66.7% ATS. Those are incredible numbers. If all you did was just bet on the team that lost their previous game to then cover the next game. But let's narrow this field down a bit. By the way, those teams, they're covering 66.7%, but straight up 39-28, that's 58% straight up. But what if you were a favorite and you lost that game? If you were a favorite and you lost the game, the next game in these NBA playoffs, in this season, 19-7 straight up. That's 73%. 17-8-1 against the spread. 68% ATS. And these teams are winning the first quarter by a score of 29-23. They're winning the second quarter 28-27. So 7 points on average, the favorites coming off of a loss in this postseason winning the first half on average by 7 points. Now there's the Oklahoma City Thunder, who in these playoffs have bounced back every time they have lost. They are 5-0 after a loss in these playoffs. They are outscoring their opponents in those five games in the first half by double digits. First quarter, 29-21. And if you go back throughout the regular season, when they were 18-2 after a loss, again, first half dominations, double-digit leads at the end of the first half. The Thunder, more so than any other team, knows how to bounce back in these situations. And so I'm going to bet on this bounce back. One other situation to look at. Game four, going back through the history of the database to 2003. Game four of a playoff series where the road favorite loses game number three. The Oklahoma City were a road, Oklahoma City Thunder, a road favorite in game number three in Indy, and they lose. And they are once again a road favorite in game number four. Those teams are 15-5 straight up, 12-7-1 against the spread. But they are winning the first halves by, that's not by much, but they're winning the first halves by 3 points. Thunder first half is my best bet on this game. I think the Thunder go wire to wire, to be honest with you. I think this winds up being a Thunder game that looks more like game number two as opposed to what we saw in game number three, of course. And put it this way. The Thunder won the first quarter in all three games here in this series. The Pacers have been held under their team total in all three first quarters in this series. But with this bounce back situation, the desperation spot to avoid going down 3-1, the Thunder need to get off to a fast start. The Thunder will get off to a fast start. All they've done in this series is get off to fast starts. I think they maintain the lead after the first quarter. Thunder first quarter, Thunder first half. That's the way I'm betting this game. From a prop betting perspective, two props I want to bet. One, Tyrese Haliburton under 18.5 points. I do think there's a fatigue factor. It's only a one-game break, a one-day break in between games three and four. Plus, this number's inflated. It was at 17.5. It gets put up to 18.5. It makes no sense. Haliburton went under this number in games one and game two. And if you go throughout his game logs in this postseason, he tends to score less in games where his team is playing with some house money. You know, they take a 2-0 lead against the Bucks. He doesn't score in game number three. They take a 2-0 lead against the Cavs. He doesn't score in game number three. They upset the Knicks in game number one. He doesn't really score in game number two. They take a 3-1 lead against the Knicks in that series. He doesn't score in game number five. Under Tyrese Haliburton, 18.5 points. Another best bet here for the game. Best bets brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. $100 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, coming up next, tomorrow morning, VSiN by the books with Dave Ross. Jensen Lewis will join him live from Omaha. The College World Series gets underway here on Friday. The first game is at 2 o'clock Eastern time. So Jensen will join live from Omaha with his best bets with Dave Ross. That's on VSiN by the books. Then a numbers game with Gil Alexander at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And then live from Omaha, it is Money Moves with Stormy Buonantony and Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. This is Cashin' Out here on the Sports Betting Network.